Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm very excited to welcome back our guest today, John Blasky, founder of the exhibiting agency and a sought-after event services consultant. This session is special. John is world's foremost expert in the qualification and engagement of visitors at trade shows. In this session, he very generously opens up about his method of ensuring that your salespeople spend their critical time at the booth engaging with visitors who matter.
And what I've preached since, I guess, since 1974, when I was at the exhibition, the Spring Fair that opened the NEC in Birmingham, England, is strategy. What's missing is strategy. What actually do you want to come away with at the end? And are we exhibiting in a vacuum? Or is it part of the marketing continuum? How does it link with other forms of a company's or an organization's marketing? How does it dovetail with their social media, with their printed, if that's still there, marketing? Or does it just happen in isolation?
John Blasky has generated hundreds of millions of pounds of new prospective business for his clients through face-to-face marketing. Global multinationals, national trade organizations, not-for-profits, and countless SMEs have benefited from John's insights. John's key theme? Persuading his audience to stop hiding behind their screens and engage with prospects. Engaging with our fellow human beings has proved to deliver far more long-term business relationships than via online methods. John's content addresses how to identify real prospects, how to evaluate them, how to listen actively to their needs, how to align their messaging consistently, and how to take advantage of our universal connectiveness. From manufacturing display panels for exhibitors 40 years ago to disrupting conventional exhibiting norms, John is certainly unconventional. His calling today is to inspire and persuade any ambitious organization to create sustainable live marketing strategies to differentiate themselves and measure every aspect of their performance. Now, on to this unconventional session with John Blasky. John, welcome back on the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me again. I hope enough people were interested in what I had to say to come back.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you look at sales and marketing, this world, and you are in a very specific, specialized silo of that world, The more I talk to people, what I hear is, we are not learning much. We are constantly repeating cycles of mistakes.
Yes.
Which we started 40 years back. The reason is that template was very solid for the industrial era. That was a very good template, whatever we are doing. But we somehow are not able to move away from that. So we were speaking on Monday and you told me about this very unique experience of your meeting a customer that you had 25 years back, and they had a booth there. Let's start from the Manchester show.
Okay. Yeah, it was amazing. My friend runs a small family business, although I think they turn over something like £6 or £7 million. So it's not so small. And we met, must be 25 years ago. He came to one of my masterclasses, engaged with me after, and hired me to help him develop his company through face-to-face marketing. It wasn't called that in those days. It was just exhibiting. And I worked with him for a number of years. He had an open mind. He was ambitious. And he was a very nice human being. That helps as well, you know. The most important thing was he wanted to learn. To your point about what have we learned. You know, what did Einstein say? The definition of an idiot is somebody who does the same thing and expects a different result. And I'm afraid that applies to our industry. Fast forward to last week, he was in Manchester at a dermatological conference with an exhibition alongside, as is the model. And of course, it's the exhibition and the exhibitors. They are the sponsors. They pay for the conference to take place effectively. Anyway, he kindly invited me to see the stand now. And of course, the company has grown. But the principles that we shared 25 years ago were embedded in his presence at this conference. They had a great location. They only had one access point. It was a wide access, but it was controlled. They had no furniture on the stand for people to sit down and camp. They had really fit and well-informed staff. They had a demonstration going on about how a particular camera could take pictures of dermatological lesions. They had a very effective form of data capture, and they had their next stage of follow-up all sorted out. And looking at the exhibitors around them, and I sent you a couple of pictures, Svanjan, so yes. Maybe you can show those at the right time. It was streets ahead. And I was quite flattered that even though he was no longer managing director of his own company, he's hired a CEO, he's inculcated in their program of face-to-face marketing all those principles that we discussed all that time ago.
So let's start with the exhibitors around, in and around him or his booth. What were they doing? What did you see them typically doing? Which I would believe 80-90% of exhibitors do day after day, in event after event, in trade show after trade show. What is it that these other guys were doing?
I think it's what they weren't doing. There was no control. There was no consideration of process. There was no visitor journey. There was no consistency in the way that they presented sometimes very valuable information. And this is about your health. So it's important. I think I sent you two pictures. One was where there were a couple just sitting around a table on their iPhones, no eye contact. The eye contact was with the iPhone. Another shot where people were just, they saw chairs, visitors this is, and they saw, oh, we can sit down here, we can have our lunch, or yeah. we can just maybe sit and listen. But I didn't see or hear any process. Mm-hmm. And that means there was no strategy. And what I've preached since, I guess since 1974, when I was at the exhibition, the Spring Fair that opened the NEC in Birmingham, England, is strategy. What's missing is strategy. What actually do you want to come away with at the end? And are we exhibiting in a vacuum, or is it part of the marketing continuum? How does it link with other forms of a company's or an organization's marketing? How does it dovetail with their social media, with their printed, if that's still there, marketing? Or does it just happen in isolation with very little guidance? And you know what happens? It can be a guided missile, or it can be a rogue missile. And of course, you're performing right next to your competitors. So a visitor is going to judge you emotionally, because that's what face-to-face marketing is about, as well as objectively. And so you've got to be on your game, and you've got to have a plan, you've got to have a strategy, and you've got to be accountable. Somebody in the organization has to be accountable. And I think we're living in a world where we tend to subcontract accountability. We're not accountable for the decisions we make.
You mentioned that part of the process that you have, and we'll talk about that more, but in this context, is a 60-question questionnaire that you share with your prospective customer and ask them questions to various points, including the strategic outcome that they're looking for and so on. What do you see actually when you analyze these answers? What do you typically see people are trying to do? Because when I talk to people, everybody wants to make some sales. Everybody wants revenue. That's why they're there. I mean, it's very rare that unless you are a Microsoft or a very large company going to a CES, you are not going there for brand presence or to counter your competitor's presence. I mean, you are not really expecting something to happen in terms of revenue. But most others have that as the core goal. So what do you see when you ask them these questions?
So thank you for bringing that up. The first point of contact that we have with any prospect is what we call a strategy review. And you're right, it's about 60 questions. It's a discovery of what they actually want from this activity. Now, I have to tell you, in some cases, when we've had the answers, when we've pushed for these answers, it becomes apparent that they shouldn't be at a show at all, or they shouldn't be at the show for which they've reserved a booth. But let's assume that they are at the right show, and let's assume that it is business to business. I mean, agricultural shows, county fairs, things like that. Yes, you need salespeople on the stand to sell your honey or your weaving or your pictures or whatever it is. But I'm talking here about business to business exposure. And what I think people haven't realized is how much they can do at a trade show. I'll give you an example. People say we want leads and we want new business. Okay, fine. How much? How much new prospective business do you want? And therefore, how many people have we got to pull through the booth and tell them the story? And how many of our existing customers do we want to see? And do we want to see them? But another question I always ask is, what are you doing to gather market intelligence about your industry? What questions would you ideally like to ask the people who are visiting the show? E.g., what new projects are around just now? Who do you currently buy from? What is your spend? So is there an organized suite of market intelligence questions that you could be mining at the show? Another potential objective is to create a scalable, portable stand, so that whether you're going to a large show or a small show, you have something that can be scaled and the same visitor journey will occur wherever you take it. Another objective that we push at people or we ask them about, you know, this is like when you go to a restaurant, you don't know what to order as a meal unless you have a menu. So this 60 question strategy review is about a menu. And we offer them a load of things that they hadn't seen that they could achieve at the exhibition. I'll give you one last one, which is, do you want to raise your brand profile? Now, many, many years ago, especially with this client that I went to, whose stand I went to visit last week, he reminded me that one of the exercises that we did at the very first show we helped him with was, as people were leaving, we asked them, have they heard of, and this brand name. And he thought that everybody in the industry knew the brand name. Turns out that 70% of those questioned did not. Actually, that was a vox pop that we took as people came in. When they left, we asked them again, which stand did they remember? And they remembered this one. So in that case, we've raised their brand profile by the hundreds of people who came on the booth, came on the visitor journey.
Right.
Those are just a few things that we ask in the questionnaire.
Sure. So John, let's step back and let's sort of deep dive into this process, right? Your engagement starts before the show happens. And as you mentioned, there are scenarios where customers have already booked a booth or space for a certain show. And sometimes your discovery basically indicates that they should not be at the show. But for the sake of this conversation, let's imagine the journey that they take with you of a customer who has come to you and you have started the discovery process, which you just described, and you have been able to arrive at certain goals they want to set for themselves for the given show, right? So typically, what are the goals that people are setting?
Okay, so I just want to touch on the point of, are they at the right show?
Right.
I remember we helped a company who was selling apartments in Spain. Hmm. And so, as you would expect, they went to a show called Viva España. Every lead they picked up was picked up by every one of the other competitors, the other exhibitors.
Right.
And so any business that came as a result of that would have been discounted, and it would have been very difficult to turn it into business. What we did with them, we said, was who exactly, and this is, by the way, a key part of our questionnaire, who precisely is your audience? Who do you want to see? And we managed to elicit from them that they wanted to meet people in their 50s, people who were thinking of retiring, people with money. And so I identified a show called Business Finance. And they said, what on earth are you talking about? Why business finance? Anyway, it was a Clarion show, and we took this particular company to that show, and they were the only ones selling property in Spain. But the audience were independent financial advisors. Independent financial advisors themselves were interested in properties abroad, and they had 200 or 300 clients each who also could have been interested in properties abroad. So by forensically examining who the exhibitor wanted to address, we took them to an unexpected show, and they cleaned up. They came away with 160 valid leads. So I just wanted to talk about that. If, for example, somebody has committed to a show and it's not the right show, we will help them with the journey. And to your question, Subhanjan, we ask them how much prospective business do they want to write? How much do they need for their business plan? We start by connecting the marketing exercise to their business plan. So let's say next year this company wants to add £500,000 to their sales. Where are they going to find it? Some of it they may find at live marketing shows. What is the average customer value? Let's say it's 10,000. So they need 50 new customers. And we start from there. How are we going to get maybe as many as 250 people to see a presentation on the booth in 3 days so that they end up with appointments which finally lead to 50 pieces of business? Now, what that means is the old model of spending 20 minutes with two prospects on your stand can't work. When you do the maths, it just can't work. What you have to be able to do is spend 2 minutes with 20 customers. And we show people how to do that with a visitor journey and an experiential immersion in the company's brand.
This is so intriguing for me. Expand a bit on the visitor journey idea.
Okay. So a lot of people used to ask me, will you train my reps how to behave on the stand? And I'm saying, yes, well, why are you going to the show? What do you want from it? We do the questionnaire. And typically they would answer the question, is this a sales experience or a marketing experience? With the answer, well, it's a bit of both. I would typically ask them, when did you last make a sale at a trade show? People don't buy at trade shows. The object of a trade show is to give prospects a compelling reason to see you again. All you're selling is the next meeting. Now, that means that the process on the stand changes radically. We might have somebody at the edge of the stand or sometimes in the aisle engaging with people, asking them open questions. What are you looking for at the show? What do you know about our brand, our company? And if they're the wrong people, we don't let them into the booth because they can waste your time. If they're the right people, we would introduce them to another part of the process, which is telling them the story, asking them questions, and telling them the story of the brand. And that's very simple: who we are, what we do, who we do it for, what our customers say about us, and what we can do for you, Mr. or Miss Prospect. The next thing is, if people are interested, the next part of the visitor journey is to say, can we just take some details? We capture the data. We have a system called Outcomes. We log the data. And we give people at least three options to see you again. Now, this is crucial. Instead of just pocketing a business card and the rep saying, oh, I'll give you a ring next week, we actually give people three options to sign up for. Please call me. I'd like to visit your showroom. Please call me. We'd like you to come to our next open day. Please call me. I have a project now. And the fourth very important option is, please don't call me. Now, if somebody signs up for one of those options, you have a conversation. You have something that goes like this the following week. Somebody rings up the prospect and says, you came onto our stand at such and such a show. You told us who you currently buy from. You told us what you were looking for. You told us where you were not satisfied entirely with your current supplier. And you asked if you could come to an open day at our premises. So our next open day is next week. We'd love to invite you. This gives people a compelling reason to see you again.
Right, right. I'll just double back a bit on a particular point. When these people are talking to visitors in the aisle or in the edge of the booth and so on, what way do they actually qualify someone to be of value so they can come in vis-a-vis someone who is likely to waste time? So how does that work?
Okay. Usually there are three questions that we ask. And by the way, we hire professionals to do this. Generally speaking, that's a job like data capture that can be done by local staff, which means you don't have to fly out more reps to be at the show. You can hire locally, and we have a very good partnership with people who have staff all over the world in the exhibiting centers. But to your point, to your question, the questions are, hi, good morning. What are you here looking for today? And if they say something that is clearly wide of the mark, we just say, okay, I don't want to waste your time. I don't think what we've got is for you, but have a great show. If, on the other hand, they say, well, we're looking for example, dermatological scanners, you might say, oh, well, have you heard of our brand, Schüco? No, I haven't. Let me show you what we do. And in this way, you're spending the maximum amount of time with the best prospects. But this script needs to be learnt. It needs to be delivered consistently. It needs to be performed with energy. And therefore, you use a professional person to do it. And as long as you've got the script right, you can feed the booth. And you can feed the booth with the right people.
Makes total sense.
It is common sense, Subhanjan. That's the whole point about this. People seem to lose their common sense when it comes to events like these.
I mean, I'm tempted to move on, but let me stick on here for a bit. John, you have seen possibly few thousand trade shows across the span of your career. You have seen possibly tens of thousands of exhibitors across geographies. Where is the problem? I mean, why is it that people don't get it? Why is accountability still not clear? I mean, I do have a theory, and I should put it on here, that basically what is happening in the trade show is what is happening in the company otherwise, which means in their core sales and marketing function, also there is no accountability. There is shifting of blame. Oh, marketing is getting bad leads, so we are not able to sell, so on and so forth. And that sort of percolates to the floor. That's my theory, but I may be wrong. What do you say?
Well, you know, that's such a good point, Suwanjan. When we offer this strategy review, this 60-question questionnaire, which I guide the client, the prospect through, they say to me, can we have more than one person in the interview, in the meeting? I say, you can have as many people as you want. And I say that for a reason, because when I ask a question, for example, why would people buy from you as opposed to your competitors? You get 20 different answers from three different people in the room. Now, this exposes, literally exposes, the weakness in a company's marketing. The messaging is not consistent. So how are you going to bring it to the trade show? And very often what I find is that people then hire me or hire us to have a look at their marketing messaging. And I've worked with big companies, AstraZeneca, EDF, Mitsubishi, big names around the world, and trade boards as well. And when you dig deep into what is their marketing message, and I'm not talking about social media, this is not my world, this is face-to-face. How consistent are they with their messaging? And the very process of asking these questions gets them to ask their own questions. Now, you touch on the point of accountability, and this, I'm afraid, is my big beef. Nobody wants to be accountable, but we are. And if a client hires us, we will guarantee the results that we've agreed, providing that the client does exactly what we say. And if they don't get the results, then we give them their fees back. That's our guarantee. But they have to do it our way, because our way is proven over 25, 30 years across the globe. And a lot of it is common sense, as you mentioned.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
you're going to be spending, let's say, $50,000 on this exhibition, this expo. Have you taken into account, by the way, the cost of the staff on the stand? Have you taken into account the opportunity cost, that if they were doing their job on the road and they weren't at the exhibition, what would they be earning? And we try and give them a real look at what the total costs are, apart from stand space, travel, booth construction, and all that. And then we try and build a bridge. No, we try. We build a bridge from their booth to their business.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. I still would like to understand from, and this is sort of from your experience of speaking with this huge number of people involved, why, when they're investing money clearly in a visible way, a trade show, why they're not looking for accountability. And it may not be a person, it may be as an organization, this is how, as an organization, we are accountable to the money we are spending, and this is what we want to get out of it, and this is how we are going to do it.
You know, when I'm promoting, the most successful person within the company that I can promote to is the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer, because he would ask exactly the same questions that you're asking. How do we know whether this 50,000, 100,000 euro, dollar, pound investment is going to yield anything, what it's going to yield? And so that's where we come in. We do the maths. Right. We simply say, okay, you're going to be spending, let's say, 50,000 on this exhibition, this expo. Have you taken into account, by the way, the cost of the staff on the stand? Have you taken into account the opportunity cost, that if they were doing their job on the road and they weren't at the exhibition, what would they be earning? And we try and give them a real look at what the total costs are, apart from stand space, travel, booth construction, and all that. And then we try and build a bridge. No, we try. We build a bridge from their booth to their business. That's my sort of phrase. We build the bridge from the booth to the business. So let's say that 50,000 that they thought they were spending is more realistically 100,000. To get a decent ROI, they want to come away with maybe £500,000 worth of prospective business. They still have to convert it. We don't do that. And that would give you, over a period, a 5-to-1 ROI, plus all the objectives that you've set in terms of market intelligence, brand profile raising, staff training, scripting, the creation of a scalable, portable experience, and so on. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back to the booth. You mentioned a few things about what your client did in terms of having no seating available, one entry point, and so on, and the reusable, scalable booth material. So let's break down what an ideal booth should look like.
Okay. Well, this is where I earned my infamy, because I became known early on, I think it was in Dubai, with a company called Oki, who made color printers. And we created a black box. We created something that no one could get into. And people were queuing to get in. You know, the old curiosity factor defies explanation. But I would say this, that if you have a wide open stand and everybody can see in and everyone can see what it is, you can look, you can nod, say, oh, I know what they've got, and you pass by. Bit of psychology. Once you create a discrete space, which can either be a total black box or it can be barriers, you control who comes in and who doesn't. So if somebody's coming to you to sell you more something, you know, and you don't want them in, that you can politely ask them to come back later, or we'll get in touch with you later. So the key word here, Subhanjan, is control. We put control into the process and into the execution of the process. So my favorite stand is the black box, where people are queuing up to think, what is going on in there? And in the case of Oki, by the way, they gave me a really hard time. They said, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. And in the end, to his credit, this guy that he came to one of my masterclasses, he gave me a very hard time, but he hired me the next day. And then we went off to Dubai to GTEx, and we created a stand to promote his new color copiers in those days. And we came away with 900 leads. 900 people had said, please, I want a demonstration of this machine. And each machine was $2,500 in those days. So you can do the sums. You can see that the prospective business that they came away with was extraordinary.
So these people queuing up were obviously getting qualified before they were allowed to queue up, right? Whatever were the relevant questions there to qualify, I am assuming that they did that. But If you think of a regular exhibitor, for example, you send me photos of two booths, right? One of the booth was a small booth, nothing compared to the size of the booth of your past customer. It was a small booth where these two ladies were sitting and looking at their iPhone, no eye contact and all that. Will you be able to apply your principles to a small exhibitor, or is it something that actually works better if you are a large exhibitor?
The same principles apply on a tiny space. And I can give you the example of a company who created software for hedge funds. They went to a conference in Abu Dhabi, and all they took was a pop-up display unit, but we graphiced it on both sides. And they put it in the corner of the conference hall, just around the corner. So you couldn't actually get behind there unless we had qualified you, unless the marketing team had qualified you. So effectively, this was maybe 3 meters by two, or even 2 meters by two. The same principles applied. You engage with people, you ask them the questions, and then if they qualify, you bring them into your space, tell them your story, and offer them the next compelling reason to see you again. It works. It works on a huge scale, and it works on a tiny scale. It's the principles that work.
Right, right.
Incidentally, that particular company came away with 120 leads on a two-day conference, and their average customer value is $250,000. So they came away with a mighty prospective business pipeline on a few square meters, you know?
Right, right. Is there anything else that you are supposed to be doing at the booth which people mostly are not doing today?
I think if you want to be remembered and you want to differentiate yourself, especially in a show where you are surrounded by your competitors, you have to create a bit of theater. You have to create something that is immersive. That can be a character. It can be the, we've done many times, the Dragon's Den, a sort of an emulation. I don't know whether you have that in India, but the Dragon's Den. So we would collect four people. We would sit them down in chairs. We give them a stack of money, not real money, you know, but a barrel load of rupees. And we give them a two-minute pitch, and then we ask them, would they invest in this product? So you make it into something memorable, something that they've possibly seen somewhere else. The power of TV and the power of these game shows is enormous. And you make it an immersive experience. But the whole thing, you've spoken to four people for 2 minutes, add on some data capture time, and then they go off and they've had a nice experience, which they remember, especially when you follow up. And then you bring the next four people in, and so it goes on, and you have a process. And by the way, if you question the process, I'll tell you where I learned it. I learned it at Disneyland. The Americans have a remarkable way of crowd control. You know, you queue up, then you go on the ride, whatever that ride is, and then you come out, and mysteriously you're in the gift shop. And you have to buy something. So if you copy that and you use it at exhibitions, it's no different. It's a bit of commercial theater.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move on from there, from the booth. And now we have gone through this process. We have qualified people. We have only brought in qualified, to the extent possible, qualified folks into the booth. And we have now spoken to them, taken them through the company story, and we have fixed the next meeting option that they've chosen. Is there anything else left at this point, or are we ready for the follow-up?
We have a system called Outcomes, and Outcomes is either a paper on a clipboard, which is very easy to fill in, tick boxes, or it's on a tablet. And that goes into the system, the data system. And the first thing it does is it sends to the email address of the prospect, thank you for visiting our booth. We'll be in touch with you next week. to discuss the options that you've signed up for. So immediately at the show, you have a follow-up. Now, sometimes people actually, that brings them back to the booth and they come back for more. But essentially, the job is done once you've got the data. And I make this point very clearly. At the end of a trade show, the stand comes down, the structure disappears, the people fly away. The only thing you have is data. And the quality of that data will deliver your ROI and your ROO. You have to be asking the right questions. As, by the way, as you are today, Subhanshu. But I think, I don't want to say that there's a villain in the piece here, but the people that I believe should be picking this up are the organizers. The trade associations and the professional organizers should be showing their exhibitors how to do it. But very often they don't know themselves. All they're interested in is selling the space and the opportunity. But, you know, if I'm buying a new piece of equipment, I want to know how it works. If I'm buying a new service, I want to know what I'm going to get from it.
And I would actually, you're right, and it actually goes to the attendee as well, because finally the fountain of revenue is the attendee, who possibly is not paying a lot to come in, or maybe coming in free, in as the case may be. But the whole fulcrum of this endeavor between the organizer and the exhibitor is to keep that cycle of commerce going by enticing and getting, I don't think enticing is the right word, but by connecting and getting the right people to engage and buy, right?
Yes, it is. And one of the questions we ask on our feedback form or on our digital feedback is, who else should we be speaking to in your organization? Because very often the boss has sent somebody junior to suss out the show. But we want to know who is the head honcho there. And I think the secret of this is this compelling reason to see you again. What can we invite a prospect into that happens maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the show? Can we create a run-on event, a something that we're building the bridge from the booth to the business? And we actually start at the end. What is the follow-on event? What can we engage people to take? That may be something online, by the way. You know, people come internationally to shows. It could be something physical. Or it could even be that the appropriate rep or account executive goes to visit them. You might call it a range review if somebody's interested in buying your products.
Makes sense.
I think where the whole thing falls down is when you leave it open-ended. In the old days, you used to give people a brochure. And apart from chopping down forests all over the world, this was actually chopping down the opportunity to do business. Because typically, if you've given someone a brochure, just think about it, the common sense here. You ring someone up the week after, they've been on your booth, and you say, Mr. Subhanshu, you came on my booth and you were interested in our products and you took our brochure. When can I come and see you? You will say, well, thanks. I've got your brochure. If I need you, I'll call you. And the phone goes down. Or today, swipe off. And so you've actually castrated the sales opportunity.
Right. Tell me something. In the typical trade show, today we are scanning badges, right, to get data in terms of contact address and all that from the organizer's database, which this attendee has filled up. A lot of times it's not really the right email because they don't want to be, they know that this will be given to 5,000 exhibitors and I'll be like inundated with mails and so on. So they put some mail that they don't look at every day. When you give out this digital form or the outcome form, on the clipboard. What is your experience? How often do people actually share the relevant mails and details like phone numbers? And how often do they push it to generic emails and board numbers? Is there any data available from your experience?
You know, I suppose there is, but I haven't really looked at it, because our principle is, if you want to engage with us, you'll fill out the form, and you'll fill it out properly. Or when I say fill it out, or you'll digitally put it into your tablet. And if you don't, you'll say, thank you, this is not for me. And we ask that question. We're not right. hiding behind it. So we don't want to come away with a whole load of scam. You know, I've seen people go to exhibitions, and the only objective that their boss has set them is come away with 300 scans, or come away. What does that mean? It's an absolute waste of money. So yeah. We would rather come away with 50 really valuable completed forms with somebody saying, I want the next stage in your process.
Right.
I did a show in Anaheim last February, I think it was. The company service helicopter engines. They're out of Vancouver. And I said, when I started the process, how many leads do you want? So they said, well, if we could get 30 leads, we'd be really happy. 30 of the right leads, because their average customer value is something like $2 million or something. Anyway, we delivered 54 leads to them. And we used local professional, if you like, ambassadors in the aisles, and a local data capture lady as a receptionist, leaving them free to talk about servicing helicopter engines.
Right.
And, you know, that was very recent, and we put the process in, and it was only about a 3-meter by 2-meter stand. It was a very small stand.
Mm. And what was the kind of trade show it was?
Well, it was for, it was called HAI, Helicopter Association, something or other.
Okay, so it was an industry show, which also yes, means that their competitors would have been around.
Yes, but these were the only people that did what they do in a certain particular way. So.
Right. So your process sort of goes up to the follow-up event that you typically advise them to have, or something that is there beyond the show.
Yes.
And this entire process sort of ends with that. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, you know, I was thinking recently, somebody says, where does the show end? You know, one version is, well, 4:30 on Thursday, we're going home. And some people might say, well, the end of the month when we've followed through all the leads.
Right.
And some other people say, well, when you've had the follow-on event, that's when it ends. My view is it never ends. It's a continuum. It's a marketing continuum. And if there is a strategy to use face-to-face marketing to grow your business, then you need to actually lead with it. All the social media follows on. But this is the way you can lead. You can lead the growth of your organization if you want to. Because face-to-face, who said it? One face-to-face engagement, a handshake, looking the eye, feeling the energy of somebody is worth 1,000 Zoom calls.
I think there is a lot to take away. And as I told you in the beginning, that with multiple conversations that I have around sales and marketing with experts like you, I come back with this strange, sort of wisdom that nobody is learning. Nobody is learning. We are trying to teach, but nobody is learning. The ones who are obviously benefit. But in this era of internet and AI-driven search, it's a shame that when I put out this podcast, people will listen to it. Possibly some of them will say, I can do that. I can remove all the chairs from the stand. That's doable. But I'd be surprised if you get two phone calls out of it saying, John, I think we need to talk to you at least. Whether we engage with you or not is a different thing. But my God, I mean, the stuff you told, we are doing this every time. And no wonder we are not selling.
You know, the saddest thing of all, Sumanjan, is that people believe that technology is the answer to everything. And whilst technology can support human beings, it doesn't replace them. I'm sad that we have forgotten how to say hello to someone we've never met before. I'm into various projects and some energy healing and things like that. And I go back to the indigenous and the way the indigenous live. They lived in a community. And whenever you create an exhibition, you're creating a community. You might even say that your trade association is a community. We have forgotten the com in community. It means in Latin together. And it's very sad that, for example, we no longer do much handwriting. And handwriting, especially on a feedback form, by the way, brings head and heart and hand together. And you can tell an awful lot by that. And apart from handwriting, we speak. And more importantly, listen. As human beings, we've been given this wonderful opportunity to engage. And we've forgotten how to do it. Or we're afraid of it. And I worry for the youngsters who are coming through. Because when you tell them, get in touch with so-and-so, they'll text. They won't even lift up the phone to speak. And what's the point of a trade show? It is to bring human beings together. And so if there is any legacy for me to leave, I have no fear about sharing with you. We discussed this in depth, and I've given it all away. I've given it away. By the way, there may be one missing piece in the recipe that you need to ring me for. But generally speaking, this is about how do I say hello to somebody who I've never met before, whose life I can enhance, and who may enhance my life.
And I totally see. And again, the trade show is not outside of the societal structure and situations that we are creating. So we are the same people who go to the trade show, and some of us are putting up booths, and some of us are going to search for things. And by the way, the same can be told about attendees. When they don't do eye contact, they don't want to be spoken to. They don't want to, I mean, why are you there?
But let me go back to your point about it's part of society. The trade show is nothing more or less than the old forum in Rome, or the agora in Greece, or the bazaar in Turkey. It is a meeting place. It is a place where people come together to trade. They may trade information. They may trade products. They may trade energy. All those. And I think we've lost sight of that. And it's a shame, because at the base of everything is the human need to interact with somebody like themselves.
And you know, just to add, and of course, we are going to wrap this up. Because it fascinates me, and not only that, I think it's key to understand these shifts that are happening. We have become devoid of curiosity of the other person.
Very well said.
You know, so if I meet you, and I have to meet you and talk to you, if I have to, my goal is to figure out, what can I get from you? Not what we can exchange and enrich. Like what you said, I can make a change to that person's life, and possibly he can too. I think we have lost sight of that completely.
I'm afraid so. I think there are forces out there which divide us and keep us in silos. And it's part of my job to use this platform to bring people together. Curiosity is what led me to this business. I was curious about why people spend this vast amounts of money putting up these wonderful mausoleums. I used to say that the booths are mausoleums. A mausoleum is a beautiful building with dead people in it.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
And it's a shame. So my, I'm privileged to have worked in this business. And, you know, if I brought two people together who have then developed a relationship, whether that's business or something else, that's brilliant. But it shouldn't be like that. It should be everyone rejoicing in coming together. I've built a lot of communities in my life. And if I think of all the teams that I've shaped for trade shows, they are little communities and they're going into bigger communities. But I love your point about curiosity. You can ask AI a question. It has the knowledge, but it doesn't have the wisdom.
Absolutely. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com. John, thank you so much for your time and for being so generous with sharing your knowledge and this whole process. And I really hope people take time to listen and think about what we discussed. And I hope that a few reach out to you to learn it from you in person.
Well, maybe I'll have to come over to India and tell a few more people. But
absolutely.
I respect you greatly, Subhanjan, and I thank you for the compliment you paid me about interviewing on this podcast. And I do hope people, if they get one little tiny thing that helps them, that's great. And, you know, I'm here if people want me, but I'm at the end of my career, although I'm now trying to, I'm aiming to get my methodology into a sort of a package so that other people can take it on. And that's, you know, I don't want it to go with me.
Right. No, absolutely. I think that's brilliant. And we will have the opportunity to talk about that. And, you know, I mean, any way I can be of any help and assistance, I'm there with you. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.